joyfully proclaim, we are your church, we are your people. You should have been in Sunday school this morning if you missed it. John is currently starting a study in 1 Peter. And as we were in the Word this morning, the whole emphasis was, you know, this salvation that we enjoy, we can't take any credit for it. It's all of God. All of God. It's ours just to believe, receive, and accept. How thankful that God loved us and provided for us that we might become a child of His. Well, you notice in your bulletin, and perhaps some of you have already opened it, we're going to be reading the first 15 verses of Psalm 50 this morning. Psalm 50, verses 1 through 15. The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above, and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am thy God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices, or for thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be here today, and we're thankful for this service we've had and some special things that we have acknowledged and recognized today. We do just thank you for your word that could be hidden in the hearts of these young lives. We thank you for those who were willing to labor and work with them throughout these past months. We do pray that your word would not return unto you void in their lives, but that it would truly come back to their memory from time to time. We thank you that we can gather here today as a group of people. I thank you for the freedom that's ours. We have taken this for granted so long in this country, and things that we see around us, we just wonder, is this something which is always going to be an opportunity for us, or in the coming days, months, years, perhaps, what we're enjoying today may not always be here. We know that you are in control. Our hearts are saddened as we see things going on in our world around us. Our hearts are saddened as we read some of the intentions of even our own president and things that he is desiring for our nation, ungodly things. We ask, Lord, that you would just work your works. You have a plan, you have a purpose for our nation. We have forsaken you. We have turned against you. We have crowded you out of our lives nationally. Help us that do know you as our own personal Savior. Help us to give you rightful place in our hearts and lives. And Lord, help us to show how we can oppose ungodly things that are being proposed. Show us what we can do. Help us to be faithful in our lives. Help us to live the Lord in our lives, not just claim him with our lips. We pray that you would speak to us now. Teach us your ways. We thank you in your name. Amen. And you may be seated. Take your Bibles and turn again to that portion we read in Psalm 50. Today's challenge for us is even reflected in the message title in your bulletin, which we've given, Let's Aim to Please. Please whom? Please God. How would you go about pleasing God? Can we know how? What comes to your mind? If that was your goal, I want to please God. Well, as we think of the verses before us, we looked at some of the things that God's people did, even what we read a moment ago in our scripture reading. In verses 7 through 13 of Psalm 50, for instance, we notice some of Israel's efforts to please the Lord. What were some of the things they did? Well, you notice in verse 8, we want to please God, well, we need to bring sacrifices for burnt offerings. And yet we, as we looked at this, we learned in those verses that God doesn't need anything from us. In those verses we read, he said, I'm not going to rebuke you, verse 8, or reprove thee. That's what that word means, for the sacrifices that you brought. But he goes on and he says, I'm not going to take any bullock or goats. The reason every beast of the forest is mine already. The cattle on 1,000 hills. All of those things are mine. And he said in verse 12, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. The world is mine. I would just get some. If I wanted to eat an animal, I would eat an animal. I would whatever. Will I eat the flesh of bulls and drink the blood of goats? So, if I gave him something, you say, well, if I want to please God, I need to give him something. Israel, for generations, had, according to the law, been bringing those sacrifices to the tabernacle in the until the permanent temple was built. That was a part of their worship. But notice, in this psalm, the psalmist is trying to get his people to realize that you know just the ritual, just doing these things and bringing these things on a regular basis, that's really not what I'm looking for. What is the thing that we can do that could please God? You see, down through the ages, God has tried to impress upon his people that he is not nearly concerned with observances or the external things. And that's what all of these sacrifices were. As he is with the things of the heart, that which is internal. God is not nearly concerned with the external observances as he is with the internal condition of our hearts. We saw it with Saul. You say, I don't know that I think God wants us to be doing things externally. I think that pleases him. Remember in 1 Samuel chapter 15, Israel's first king by the name of Saul had been given a task. He had been told that he was to, in verse 3 of 1 Samuel 15, he was told, go smite Amalek, utterly destroy all they have, spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Well, Saul came to the city of Amalek, verse 5, and it tells us that he, in verse 7, he smote the Amalekites. He started out doing what God asked him to do. But notice, in verse 8, he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and he utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. How's he doing so far? Did he do what God asked him to do? No. God told him to utterly destroy all that they have, back in verse 3. He spared the life of the king. We go on a little bit further. It tells us here in verse 9, Saul and the people. Keep that in mind. Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. What did God tell Saul to do? Utterly destroy everything. But Saul and the people got in there and, ooh, that horse is too nice. That, oh man, I want that sheep. I want that cow. Whoa, we can't. Everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. That is not what God told them to do. The Lord told Samuel the prophet that Saul had blown it, and he sent him to go confront him about it. And it's interesting. I like verse 13. Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Can't you just see Saul with that grin on his face? And he thought he was really fooling Samuel. I love this 14th verse when Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? The word was, destroy every living thing in that city. This was God's judgment upon this wicked city and these people. God wanted everything, every living thing, totally destroyed. If Saul had done what he said, there wouldn't be any cattle lowing and there wouldn't be any sheep bleating. But here's old King Saul with that Cheshire grin on his face. Bless me. Oh, God bless you. I've done exactly what the Lord told me to do. And notice here, Saul said, verse 15, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Saul, you are just digging yourself in a deeper hole every time you open your mouth. What did Saul tell Samuel? If the people, sounds kind of familiar. Adam, what did you do? The woman, she gave me that apple. This is something that we always try to put the blame on whom? But remember verse 9, Saul and the people spared the best. He was lying through his teeth. And he said, we have brought them to sacrifice, verse 15, to the Lord. Verse 22, here's our thought. When we're asking ourselves, how can I please the Lord? Is it by bringing sacrifices? Verse 22, Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Samuel said, Saul, you don't get it. God didn't want sacrifices from me, from you. He wanted obedience. You say you save these animals for sacrifice. That's not what God wanted. God looks for not outward observance, but for the internal things of the heart. We saw in our Lord's teachings in Matthew 23. In Matthew 23, we find here verses 23 through 28, the Lord said this, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, you pay tithe of mint, anise, cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith. He said, you Pharisees, you're so nitpicky on making sure you tithe even little bits of herbs so that you can keep the law. but you don't give any interest or concern to what the law says and the judgment and what the law requires, mercy, faith. He said, you blind guides, you strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. He talks about how that these Pharisees in verse 26 or verse 25, he said, you're hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup. You make sure your coffee cup is sparkling clean on the outside, but inside is all kind of corruption. He said, you've got it all backwards. You need to be cleaning up the inside first. That's what's important. So, as we look at our text, and our text, what was our text, Pastor? What was Psalm 50, remember? We're going to find three things that God wants from each of us if we belong to Him. Three things. And these are three things that will always please God. Tell me what they are. Glad you asked. Because in verse 14, it says, number one, offer unto God thanksgiving. Be thankful to God. That's always pleasing to the Lord. When you say, that's no big thing, me. I thought you were going to tell us something that, you know, was really going to be hard and was really going to cost me something. I'll extend a challenge to you as I extend it to myself. Try being thankful for 1 week. You say, I can do it. Try being thankful for 1 day. Do you think you can make it being thankful through a day without a word of complaining? I point to my wife. Not that she's the complainer, but she listens to me. And I wish I could say, I always please the Lord on this one. I never complain. I am always thankful. But I can't. I admit it. Your pastor is not perfect. He's a complainer. Just ask my wife. She has to live with it. She has to listen to it. Pastor, don't you know that you are to offer unto God thanksgiving? Yeah, I know it, but if I don't like the way things are going, out comes the complaint. How about you? If I'm not pleased with certain situations, out it comes. You get up in the morning and you're hopeful you're going to see the sunshine, but instead, it's raining. Ah! Is that offering unto the Lord thanksgiving? It is complaining. Dissatisfaction. Grumbling. Belly aching about something. I have a lot to work on. How about you? Would you like to please the Lord, though, in what you do? Here's the first step from the psalmist. Offer unto God thanksgiving. God hates complaining. He hates murmuring. But he loves a thankful heart. Back in Numbers 21, there is an incident recorded. And it tells us, actually, if you look at verse, or chapter 20 and 21, it tells us here in verse 14 of chapter 20, Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us. What do you mean, Edom is brother? Israel was related to the Edomites through Esau. They were related. And Moses asked here, he said, verse 17, can we pass through your country? We'll not go through the fields, the vineyards. We won't drink any of the water of the wells. We'll go by the king's highway. We'll not turn to the right hand, to the left hand, until we pass through your borders. And Edom, their distant relative, said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with a sword. No, you can't go through our country. With that as a background, let's look at verse 4 of chapter 21. They journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to encompass or go around the land of Edom, because they had just been told, you're not stepping foot in our land. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Uh-oh. When there's discouragement present, there's probably going to be one accompanying it. Complaining. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. Our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. That'll fix you. You want to start complaining? The Lord sent fiery serpents, and they bit the people, and many people started dying. We know the story, don't we? It was because they had spoken against the Lord. They had spoken against the Lord's leadership, Moses. And the Lord told Moses, here's what you do, here's how they will be spared from the poisonous snake bites. Our whole point is, God hates complaining, but he loves a thankful heart. Not only does thanksgiving please God, but you know, for the believer, it is his will for a Christian to be thankful. When I am not thankful, and we want to talk about how unpleasant it is for the person that lives for you to hear you complaining. It is disobedience to the Lord. Really. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul wrote, in everything give what?
Thanks.
Thanks. Okay. Let's omit the rest of the verse. No. The rest of the verse says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is God's will. If you know the Lord as your own personal Savior, to give thanks in everything. Well, if we were keeping score, how did you do on this first step of, tell me, Pastor, what can I do that would always please the Lord? In our text, back in Psalm 50, verse 14, first thing is, I offer unto God thanksgiving. Second thing is, pay thy vows unto the Most High. Pay thy vows unto the Most High. What does that mean? That means I need to keep my word to God. I need to keep my word with God. Some time ago, I saw something that read like this. Your word is the thing you can give and keep at the same time. Your word is the thing you can give and keep at the same time. You see, this first thing that pleases God, it talks about our attitude, the attitude of being thankful. This second thing here about keeping my vows or my word to God, that talks about my character. Am I going to be a man, woman of my word? Do I keep my word to the Lord? Do we ever think how important it is to keep our word to God? How many of us have ever told the Lord, Lord, such and such is what I'll do? Many of us have responded to invitations. We've come forward. We've knelt. We've prayed. Oh Lord, this is. Have you kept your word? That's pleasing to the Lord. When you keep your word, when you tell Him, Lord, I will, and you do it, Psalm 66, verses 13 and 14. The psalmist says, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered, and my mouth hath spoken when I was in trouble. Oh, that last phrase. How many times when our back's against the wall and we're between a rock and a hard place, we've gotten ourselves in a mess and we cry out, oh God! And we tell Him, have we done it? In the book of Ecclesiastes, where's that? Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. That's where you'll find it. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, listen to verse 2, verse 4 through 6. Here's verse 2. Solomon said, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for He hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldst not bow than that thou shouldest bow and not pay. Suffer or allow not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice? Or neither say thou before an angel that it was an error. I didn't mean to. I shouldn't have said that. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? Beloved, are we getting the picture that what we say, especially what we say to God, matters? And if our goal is, I want my life to be pleasing to the Lord, then we need to be careful about what we say and be sure that we keep our word, because it always pleases God. Notice in our text in Psalm 50, verse 14. First thing, how can I please God? I offer unto God thanksgiving. I have the attitude of thanksgiving. Pay thy vows unto the Most High. My character be one of keeping my word to Him. And what's the third one? Verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble. Call upon me in the day of trouble. That refers to my faith. We've talked about my attitude, my character, my faith. Call upon Him. This speaks of my dependency upon Him. Recently, I called to your attention an account of a king in the Old Testament. I want to call your attention to it again this morning. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles 14. 2 Chronicles 14. We're talking here about King Asa. Verse 9. There came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Maresha. Then Asa went out against him. They set the battle in array in the valley of Zephatha at Maresha, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God, and said, Lord, it's nothing with you to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on thee. And in your name we're going against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Egyptians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians, not Egyptians, Ethiopians, pardon me, and the Ethiopians fled. Asa, you get an A for that. You called on the Lord. In trouble, you called upon Him. A couple of chapters later, some years later, we find here in verses 1 through 3, in this 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah. Asa brought out silver and gold, verse 2, the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and he sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, break your league with King so-and-so and help us, and here, I'll give you money. And Ben-Hadad, verse 4, the king of Syria hearkened. And we find where did Asa turn in his trouble this time?
Did he cry out to the Lord? No. He turned to whom?
Man.
He turned to man. That's so natural, isn't it? But that's not what pleases God.
And we find that in verse 12 of chapter 16, Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, that was 3 years later, after he had turned to man and never thought about calling upon the Lord, 3 years later he was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to whom? Man, to the physicians. He didn't cry out to the Lord. As we see how careful we are in aiming for these three things which always please God. Are you always thankful? I know I'm not. I've got to work on this. Do I always keep my word? I wish I could say I've never gone back on my word to anyone, but I can't. Can you? It really is important about those things that I have told my Lord. That's where I need really to search my heart. And where do you turn? Where do I turn in the midst of trouble? God wants us to call upon Him. Those are the things that are always pleasing to the Lord. We close with, is this your aim? Is this your aim? Do you aim to please? Let's close in prayer, shall we? Thank you, Father, for the clarity of your word. It wasn't complex. Your words plainly show us three things we can do that are always pleasing to you. Now the challenge is, will we go out of here and do it? We need your help. Give us the desire and then give us the determination. Lord, may we work on pleasing you because you deserve our best. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.